This broadcast is a weekly discussion about getting back to the garden. We will host guests to talk about how humans can be more loving in our present culture and how we can be safe people to be around when talking about spiritual topics. We examine spiritual questions from the worldview of God and the views of those seeking to learn about God. This show is to guide us all back to the garden. I am the producer, Colin Reynolds, and now here's your host, Barbara Moore.
Well, this is the maiden voyage of a weekly broadcast to discuss how to get back to the garden. How do you get back into a life with other people and even yourself that is good, even very good? Well, we're really glad that at the beginning of the book that people call the Bible, there's a sentence in that Bible that says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And right around that same time, he made a statement that said he made male and female, that would be human beings. And it's really profound what he said. He said, I want you to take dominion in the earth. What is the word dominion? What does that mean? That means to subdue the earth. What does that mean? Something about this garden and the male and female, there's something that's happening, and it's very good. And that the male and female is supposed to run the earth for God. Wow, that's wild. Well, this broadcast is going to look at questions for those that know God or might be interested in learning some things about God, like, how does anyone even know that God exists? How do you get back to the garden? I've been studying for the last few years how to be a human being that would be a safe human being that people would want to have spiritual conversations with. To have spiritual conversations with people that wouldn't shut down but would keep going. How can you be a person that others feel safe around? Well, maybe you have to get back to the garden. In the year 2006, I had a journey that started, which is about 10 years ago. And literally, I went back to the garden. Now, I'm a person who believes I can actually hear God speak to me. Now, some of you would think, wow, that is really nuts. But I believe that God told me one day that I was going to become a farmer in 2006. And later on, when I tell you a little bit more about my background, you'll see how wild and crazy this was. I just laughed. I then looked at Genesis 30 because, again, I felt like God said to me, look at Genesis 30 with Joseph. I want you to be a farmer. I'm like, I'm from suburbia. How am I going to be a farmer? Well, the text, if you remember, if you know anything about the Bible, and you may not, you may have never even opened the book in your life, but it's a story about a guy named Joseph, a ruler named Pharaoh, and God. And there was a famine in the land, and Joseph was supposed to work with the government leaders to provide food for people. Well, from that day forward, I began to really try to figure out how would I help people in Metro Denver be able to have more food, more gardens, more farms. And that became quite an adventure. You may not even know it, but do you know that the God of the Bible was actually interested in the land? He wants us to get back to the garden. And in the garden, there was no toxicity. There was land that was land. There was land that was so, I mean, the smell of the earth, I can almost smell it right now, but people, these greener people that I started to hang out with up and down the Front Range were very passionate about the land and about getting back to the garden and about having friendships and community that perhaps we all long for. They wanted to get rid of the toxicity. They wanted to get back to the garden. Do you? Well, I made a plan to become a leader in this garden movement. And some really cool people in Wheat Ridge contacted me and said, hey, would you like to use my land to grow and start a garden and with other people? And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So I don't know if you've ever tried to start a garden in somebody's yard with a half an acre, but we did. And about 25 of us got together and we had so much fun. Now, moving large river rocks wasn't really that great, but in order to start a garden, you have to move the rocks out. And in 60 or 120 days, we were getting back to the garden. We saw worms, ladybugs, and bees. So how was it that I got to this garden in Wheat Ridge and started it with 25 people and had this calling to be a farmer?
That's funny because that was actually my question for you, Barbara. I was curious because you said you became part of the greener movement and you actually started building gardens. And so I was interested in what got you there. Because, you know, back to the garden, you know, back to Jesus, back to being one with God. However, you did it in a literal way by building a garden. So what steps brought you there? Like, how'd you get to where you are now?
Well, In my background, yes, when I was a child, I did some gardening, but basically, I mean, in my background, I was a high school business teacher. I love young people. I love teaching. I was a business person for 20 years. I got a degree in international business, and I ran companies for 20 years, building materials, so I was interested in building things and restoring things and taking homes that were ugly and making them look pretty, taking buildings that were ugly and making them look fresh and new. So I was involved in building. Then I really got back to the garden because I finally had an experience where I actually became born again and met God. And we'll be talking about that. What does that mean? But I just became a, I guess what you'd call a Jesus freak. You know, I just fell in love with Jesus. So I did some work in churches for a number of years. But then in 2006, this going back to the garden thing happened. And so it's all history since 2006.
So I noticed, you know, you said you like to make old houses pretty and fix things up, but it's almost like now that you're doing that with people. You know, you see somebody that's hurt and struggling and you bring them to the light of God, and it's almost like you make their outlook pretty. It's like the same thing, but for His purpose.
That's good. Like, because when you get back to the garden, I have walked around the Auraria campus where I work and hang out with young people. And I've asked some people, what does that mean to get back to the garden? Now, I didn't mention to them that the book of Ezekiel in the 36th chapter, the 33rd verse, actually says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who will pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Well, I did not walk around Auraria campus and proclaim what the prophet Ezekiel said. I just walked around the Auraria campus and said, hey, you got a minute? I'm doing this radio show called Gotta Get Back to the Garden. Does that mean anything to you? What does it mean? And it's so fun. Talk about loving people. I like to be with young people today who I honor and respect, and I love their passion. I love how they go for it in life, and they really care about being real. You know what? This show, going back to the garden is really about being real. Get real. Be nice. So I loved asking these young people, what does it mean to get back to the garden? They're like, oh, back to basics, back to what was good. One guy even said, oh, that's a song from Woodstock. We'll talk about that next week. But so it's my belief. It's why I'm on the planet, that people, God wants to transform people. And some people don't believe that there is a God. And you know what? We need to be safe kind of people and good people, very good people, that if people have different places that they're walking in the garden, whether they believe there's a God or they don't yet believe there's a God, we need to be a person who is good and caring and kind and loving. That's what I believe. The God of the Bible, though, back to me being a farmer, he really was quite interested in his real estate. The God of the Bible, you know, he really is very interested in getting back to the garden, including the garden that I just spoke of, that he's interested in the land. He's interested in us not destroying the environment. The God of the Bible really is interested in the land. And he's very interested in the people that are to take care of the land, to work in the land, and to love each other. He's very interested in human beings being loving. That's what it means to get back to the garden.
Yeah, I feel like when one does do the things you said, like really just love people mm-hmm. and do good, that mm-hmm. somehow or another God finds his way into their life. Like they understand, you know, God. A lot of people that don't believe, you know, they're angry. But when they actually start to be good people and love people and be there for people, then God shows up in their lives. It's just something I've noticed.
So things can be good, but can things be better than good if there is God in your good? These are the kind of questions that we're going to talk about in this weekly broadcast. There's 2 billion people on the planet who worship the God of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's another 6 billion that say, well, that's really good for you, but I sure as heck have never met God. Some want to meet God, and some do not want to meet God. But when you help people get back to the garden, it is good. And the atmosphere of goodness in Metro Denver creates some of the things that are in the garden so that people can get past the good to the very good. You got to get back to the garden. And so we are going to ponder together weekly, who is this God that was in the garden? And if it's very good, is it good for you? You know, there's people that believe, and there's listeners today, that you could believe that there is a God. But do you feel near to God, or does he feel far from you? Because when you get back to the garden, where it's very good, God can feel much more near to you than far. And part of the calling of this show each week will be to help you feel nearer to the God that made the garden and made you. And we believe it. We believe that you're going to feel closer to God.
Barbara, what do you know about having spiritual conversations with people and still making them feel safe? Do you know anything about that?
That's funny that you asked me that, because I've spent the last 3 years of my life, besides being a farmer and getting back to the garden, I have spent 3 years of my life trying to become a person that could have spiritual conversations with people and not shut them down and keep them going. So Q Place is a group of people out of Chicago that helps people learn how to have spiritual conversations. And part of having spiritual conversations is noticing people. You can notice people if you slow down. Part of having spiritual conversations is praying about people. Part of having spiritual conversations is learning how to listen to people. We're going to talk a lot about listening in this broadcast.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because how you brought up, you know it when you're near to God. Like when you're back to the garden, you feel it. And one trick I've done, not a trick, but sometimes I'll just be sitting there. It could be in the mall. People are walking by and literally you look at that person and you try to see from their eyes and you say a prayer for them. Aww. And you just ask God to bless them, have a good day. And when you do that all day, like I've never felt closer to God.
It was very good, wasn't it?
Amazing.
Very good.
Try to do it all the time.
So to have spiritual conversations with people today, we're going to discuss culture. What is your opinion of the culture today? Do you have anything you like about the culture today? Because people are made up of the culture. Do you like people today? Getting back to the garden is liking people. Be among people, like people. So the art of spiritual conversations, which is, again, Q Place, is having this awesome conference September 23rd at Bear Valley Church in Lakewood. And you can call the station if you'd like to have more information about it because they have the information. You can learn the 9 arts of spiritual conversations. This is basically being a human being that becomes more aware of others than yourself when you're out. Because if you shut down when you go out, that's not the right thing. When you go out, you need to be open to people. You need to be available to people because in the garden, things were open. You were available. You saw other people. You noticed other people. You listened to other people. And we need to get back to being those kind of people. And then life is very good.
Agreed.
So some people that walk the planet right now don't even really know the major belief systems that people have, like on a college campus. And my calling is on mainly on a college campus, the Auraria campus in downtown Denver. I love millennials, and I'm called to be among them. Just like Paul went in the square, that's a guy in the Bible, and he went in the square in Athens, and it's in the book of Acts in the Bible, and he was talking to these Epicureans. Well, Epicureans are people that like are foodies. Well, I'm a foodie too. And he said, oh, I can see that you're very spiritual, you're very religious, you like to talk about new things. Well, on the Auraria campus, people like to talk about new things. So to have spiritual conversations on a college campus, you need to know about the kind of things they are involved in their life. And you need to love them for it. You need to love them and listen to them and care about what they care about. Now, you don't need to just do that on a college campus, but it's taken me 3 years for God to take the sandpaper off my heart. And he still has more, but to be able to love people and listen to people and say, wow, that person is very convinced that that means something to them. So if someone is a humanist, if you don't even know and you're on the planet Earth right now what a humanist is, you need to do a Google search because there are many people, that's what they believe in, that human beings are made good, and they're made to do good things, and you need to know what a humanist is. You need to know what a relativist is, and we're going to talk about those things on this show. Not in inane details, but generally speaking, you need to understand what in the culture do people believe. What does a Buddhist believe? If you don't know anything and someone tells you a Buddhist, then at least just listen to the people when they're telling you about being a Buddhist, and we'll help you learn how to ask questions. How to ask questions that keep the spiritual conversation going and don't shut it down. Asking loving questions is very good. That's how you get back to the garden.
I agree with you there, like on meeting people, the millennials at the campus, asking them loving questions opens them up. You know, you get to know them. Because a lot of people don't believe in anything. Like they don't believe in anything. And so they're just lost people wandering, looking at their cell phones, unhappily working a job that they don't like. And it's funny when someone like Barbara over here comes and opens their eyes and their hearts, then God has a little wiggle room and he gets in there and their whole lives change. They can do anything happily. And it's just amazing to see the effects you have on people.
I love what you said, wiggle room. So wiggle room is where I would say to a person, if they actually said to me, I don't know, I don't believe in anything, then I would ask them the question, really? Do you think you don't believe in anything? What makes you feel happy in the world or safe in the world? So again, we want to help people be nice and learn how to ask kind, gentle, loving questions to another human being. And then I think this is very, very good. I think the garden was like this. So when someone says something to you, you listen so intently to them that they feel like they're the only person on the planet. I think the garden was like that. I think people had time to really look eye to eye, heart to heart to another human being and really listen to them with caring and love, and that a person goes, after they leave the conversation, goes, oh my gosh, I think that person really cared about me. That's the garden, right?
Definitely the garden. Those are those times where you can't even explain it. It's just so magical. They say the eyes are the windows to the soul. So when you
connect, oh, that's good.
That in your heart, it's amazing.
So I have a quote. A friend of mine, Fran Goodrich, is the regional leader for Q Place, and she happens to live in Lakewood and is my neighbor, and I love Fran. And she just had one of these spiritual conversation groups. So she asked this question to the people that came to this group. There is one elementary fact, which is quite obvious, said Albert Schweitzer in 1922. The disastrous feature of our civilization is that it is far more developed materially than spiritually. So maybe Albert Schweitzer in 1922 can teach us something, that we can all grow more in spiritual matters, not just in material matters. What do you think?
Definitely. I think that's what's kind of gone sour with society a little bit, is that we've become so obsessed with material things, we forget about the important things, like love, happiness, you know, things money can't buy. You hear the quote, like, the best things in life are free. And it's true. It is true.
I think that another question that is really fun to ask people, if once you get rolling with a person and you get to know each other a little bit, another question that I have found that's really fun to ask a person, and you can try this, to ask somebody this. We'd love to know who God was for you when you were a little child, and who is he now? And if you could ask God one question, if there was a God, and you knew he would answer you, what would you ask him, and why? I have seen people brought to tears over that question.
It's definitely a strong question. Makes people really think and, you know, really reevaluate themselves in their life. Like, what would I ask? I have one question. You don't want to waste it. You know, you want to make it meaningful. What would you ask him? What would your question be, Barbara?
I wanted to know if God loved me. When I was a little girl, I just really wanted to know if God loved me. And, you know, next week, in this next broadcast, we're going to look at, by the time I got to Woodstock, is the song that opens this show. And you might be saying to yourself, why are they playing that song for Going Back to the Garden for this show? Hint, I was born in 1950 in Long Island, New York. So we might be talking next week a little bit about Going Back to the Garden and an event that took place in 1969 called Woodstock. People went to get back to the garden. So tune in next week to learn some more about how people can find a life, whether you know God or you don't know God, that is even beyond good. It can be very good. And I'd like to pray for you for a minute now, that somehow you would sense the goodness of the living God right now. So Lord, we just ask that you made the garden and you said, I made it and I made it very good. You said you made male and female in your image and in your likeness. You made us to rule in the earth. You made us to subdue the earth and to make it be a place that is beautiful, that is fulfilling, that we could sense your very presence with us and through us and in us. Lord, we want to get back to the garden. We want to subdue the earth and make it be a place that is good, even very good. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tune in next week to We Gotta Get Back to the Garden, and we can't wait to share with you why our opening song is Woodstock. Gotta Get Back to the Garden. Take care.
Write your name in the clay. And sign your name, sign your name on the picture. Pick me up like a paintbrush. God, dip it in the colors of my life. Paint your picture, Father, fashion a heart that is wholly yours. And take your fingers, God, Master Potter, come mold the clay, tell your story. As you mold me, fashion a heart that is wholly yours. And write your name in the clay. And sign your name on the picture.